It's an article in the Los Angeles Times, Tuesday, March 14th, that I thought was quite interesting, quite poignant for where we are in the season of Lent and who we are as Christians in a culture that I feel like our biggest demons that we fight against are worry and materialism. I think this article speaks very clearly to that as we look at a passage this morning from Luke where Christ talks about not striving after things and not worrying. Fairy tale falls short for the rich is the title. And the article Ashley Dunn writes about people who in the bull market have recently come into wealth and investments. And she talks about it's been coined as a new malady has emerged, coined sudden wealth syndrome. And she gives an interview with a certain individual who's come into some money through tech stocks. Says, in a lot of ways, I was happier living a simpler life, said one executive who wanted to remain anonymous. I'm not saying that I'm a miserable guy, but it is hard talking to people about making a transition like this. Other people just think, oh, shut up, you have everything everyone dreams of. What they don't understand is that change is always difficult, and sometimes it's painful. And it goes on later and says this, something else then began to creep into his life. He found himself shadowed by annoying anxiety that his money could disappear as quickly as it had come. And he felt a growing gap with his old friends that made it hard to talk, even about the most mundane things like life and cars and home repair and taxes. What some of the newly rich have found is that amid the splendor of new cars and homes is a very human sense that the frenzied pursuit of wealth is not quite the fairy tale that it is made out to be. Amen. Our passage today comes from the Gospel of Luke, which we are preaching through in this sermon series. And it starts in, it's in chapter 12, starting in verse 22. It's found on page 69 in your red Bibles if you want to join along with me. Christ is speaking to a large group gathered before him. It says this, and he said to his disciples, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat, nor about your body, what you shall put on. For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor a barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a cubit to the span of his life? If then you are not able to do as small a thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor be anxious of mind. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and your Father knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you as well. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Provide yourselves with purses that do not grow old, with treasures in the heavens that do not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I think this passage is one of my favorites, one that I can continually hold myself up to, I could read daily and be challenged by. And I think within the context of this passage, which talks about not worrying, not being anxious, God gives some pretty clear steps as to how to bring this about, how to de-worry our lives. What's the series book? I was at a bookstore yesterday. It's The Idiot's Guide To? Is that all those idiots' guides to? I think it's kind of God's guide to de-worrying our lives, this passage here. I think the Lord gives some steps that would be good for us to take a look at, especially during this Lenten season when we're supposed to be focusing on our sins and our fallenness, spending a time in repentance and of maybe making some new resolutions as to how we want to live as Christians in this world. So here we go. God's guide to de-worrying our lives. A three-part plan. Step one. God is God, and you're not. God is God, and you aren't. God says, Christ says through this, you know, here's all these things you're worrying about, but you know what? Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap. Consider the lilies. God feeds them, or God clothes them. God is the one that created them. God is the one that created you. God is God, and you're not. That's okay. As much responsibility as we take on in our lives, as many exams as we've got the next week, as far as we climb on the corporate or academic ladder, it's kind of nice to know that we're never that important. That's a word of grace. That's not a slap. None of us are that important. The things that we do aren't that important. None of us is ultimately the boss. That's nice to know. It's nice to know that no matter how responsible we become in our lives, God is always the boss. God is always God, and we're not. That allows us to live a life as an assistant, as an associate. And I can tell you, as one whose name bears the image, you know, associate pastor, that's kind of nice. It's nice when someone comes into the church, a neighbor or maybe someone from the congregation wants to complain about some things, I can say, well, you know what, senior pastor is going to be in you know, a few hours, why don't you just come back then. Or when the Jehovah's Witnesses want to get together for a joint Christmas service or something, you know what, why don't you come back, you know, the pastor's going to be in tomorrow and you can deal, I'm just the associate, you know, don't, I'm just the associate pastor. Takes a lot of the burden off. I'm kind of joking, but seriously, it helps us, and one of the things that's nice, I talk with our young adults group about how usually in those late teens, early 20 years, we go frustrated kind of with church and the whole church experience. It becomes very rote. It becomes kind of boring. That's when a lot of people walk away from the church, and I understand that. I did that a little bit to myself. But the nice thing about coming to church every Sunday and making that a ritual, a habit in our lives, is it helps us once a week to just stop and remember that I'm not the boss. The Westminster Catechism says that we were created, above all, to worship God. That's our main purpose. Our main goal is to worship God forever, to love and enjoy God and worship Him forever. And when we can do that, when we can remember that God is God and I'm not and I worship the Lord, it helps us to kind of click our egos back a little bit and we take on the role of assistant. We take on the role of associate. And we allow the main burdens to fall upon whose shoulders they should. That's God's and not ours. That's not, we can't drop some of our responsibilities. That's not a way to write off the things that we should be doing or need to be doing. But hopefully that keeps us from the level of anxiety and the worry that we can take on when we take ourselves a little bit too seriously. But you know, it doesn't do us a lot of good to know that we have a boss if that boss isn't a God that's for us, a God that loves us and is nice. This passage one of the things that I love about it is it's pretty harsh, to be honest. Christ sometimes is pretty harsh in the things that he speaks to his followers. But God seems to always bracket his harsh words in words of grace and love. And the same with this passage. Christ says in the beginning, verse 24, he says, consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouses nor a barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? God wants these people who are listening right off the bat to know that he values them. I love you. I'm not saying these things as a stern God up in heaven shaking a finger at you. I'm saying these things as a God who loves you and wants the best possible life for you. I value you, and because I value you, I don't want you to be worrying about these things that you don't need to be worrying about. I don't even want you to be getting uptight about the stuff that you really shouldn't be getting uptight about. I know you, and I value you. I care about you. Believe me that I care about you. Relax a little bit. Believe that I'll care for you, my children. And then he says in the last, at the end of the passage, he says this, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Not only does God want to bless you because he loves you and he wants to bless you, he wants to take care of you, but it also is his good pleasure. It's what God wants to do. Just as we, our nature is we're made to worship God, to be in relationship with God, to enjoy God forever. When we do that, our vertebrae lines up straight and our lives get in order and things go a little bit better when we do what we're created to do. What God was created to do was to love us and to bless us and to take care of us, to pour out His love upon us. God, unlike us, was made to forgive and to forgive and to forgive and to love and love and love. That's what He delights in doing. And we need to allow Him to do that. We need to allow ourselves to be loved. We need to allow ourselves to believe that God cares for us, to not take ourselves quite so seriously, and to allow God to do what God wants to do. To love us, to value us, and to bless us. This passage is bracketed with God's attitude towards us. God delights to bless us. God delights to give us His kingdom. Knowing this is step one in de-worrying our lives. We're not the boss. God is. We don't need to worry so much. God is really in control, and God loves us. Step two, get the focus off yourself. Christ is talking about not worrying, and one of the things that He does as a teacher and as a practical Lord, He says, listen, I know it's hard for you to do this, but how about this? Consider the ravens, or consider the lilies. Christ does this a lot. Consider these other things. Get the focus off yourself. Randy talks a lot about when he's all uptight, taking a walk and looking at the mountains or looking at the flowers, getting ourselves off of ourselves. We have a tendency when we are worrying a lot or where we're depressed is to kind of spiral inward more and more and more, and what I like to call navel gaze, and get to this point where we just kind of work ourselves up. The best way to break ourselves out of that is to get the focus off ourselves, to look someplace else. What works for me, what helps for me, is to spend some time praying for others or focusing on others. When we serve others, when we seek to know what's going on in other people's